everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Hollywood Knockbusters, the show where we talk about films that are basically, you know, didn't do really well at the box office, but have a sort of a cult following, or films that I just really, really enjoy that I feel should have had more of a following and should have done very well. But here I have a guest who apparently I just found out had never seen the movie before today. And so that's awesome. I'm really excited to chat with him about it. Please welcome John Ward. How you doing, John?
I'm doing fine, thanks. How are you? And yes, I've never seen this film before, surprisingly.
Yeah. So basically, we are going to be talking about the 1992 film Stay Tuned, which I'll tell you a little bit about why I chose this film. When I was a kid, this was a movie that I watched constantly. We had it on Betamax. I would just watch it over and over again. I don't know why. Maybe it was like the idea or the concept of being stuck in TV land, you know, sort of, got me hooked. I really liked, there was an episode of Supernatural where they're kind of, it's called Changing Channels, which was very similar to Stay Tuned, where they have to get out of TV land. They're kind of stuck in there and they have to keep doing this stuff. So I could see a little Stay Tuned in that episode. And so I thought about last year, I wanted to do this eventually, but I wasn't sure who. So I sent out a list of movies to a couple different people, and John had decided on Stay Tuned. And so I said, all right. And I thought he had seen it before because, you know, I just thought he had, and he hadn't. So now that you know I'm a huge fan of it beforehand, what were your initial thoughts when you watched it?
Well, first I'll say, and I've already told you this, is that I'm a huge John Ritter fan, so I'm actually embarrassed that I have not seen this, because I've seen plenty of things with him in it, including his, you know, the Three's Company and Three's a Crowd, and just being a big fan of him just as an independent actor, and was devastated when he passed away. Problem Child. I mean, the guy's made some, you know, including back when I was a kid. He made some really great films that I saw in the theater and stuff. So I was surprised that I never saw this. And I watched the trailer for it and thought, oh, well, this looks like it could be a lot of fun. And I loved it. I really enjoyed it. While watching it, maybe because it doesn't have as big a following as it should, I could picture this almost like Jumanji, you know, where they could make two or three movies and just have different families. They go into different TV episodes. They go into movies. I mean, each film could be, you know, a different thing. And now with streaming, I mean, they could go into so many different channels that they could just make up on the fly. So this almost works perfect as a series where it technically doesn't have to have continuity, but they could continue it just like they did with Jumanji.
So how would you describe the movie? Like, if you had to sum up the story, how would you sum it up?
While watching it, I originally thought it was for kids, but then it's not. It actually has its violent moments and some swearing is in there. I forgot to look at what the rating was, but I would probably say maybe more PG-13 or at least PG-13, a high.
PG-13, I believe.
PG-13. If it PG-13, was PG-13, so that sounds PG. About right.
If it was PG, it's because back in those days, like, it was, you know, it was harder to get a PG-13, you know, or whatever rating, you know, it had to be really, like, worse, you know, off or something.
Yeah, because they had, a guy gets shot with a machine gun, Pam Dauber swears. There is some violence in there. I thought that the story was interesting. I thought it was pretty good. Having Jeffrey Jones in there as Spike or the devil, I thought was a great choice.
Well, it's also sort of fitting considering who he is now kind of viewed as, you know, like.
Oh, what? Something happened to him?
You, You didn't know about Jeffrey Jones? And yeah, you for real?
Like cancel culture type of stuff, or like a TV show? No, I have no idea.
This was a while ago too.
No, don't. No, I'm sad. Don't say that.
I'm sorry. If I told you what this was, it would definitely change things for you. So do you not want to hear it?
Well, let's hear it. Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right. You get ready.
Oh, crap.
In November 2002, after having been accused of hiring a 14-year-old boy to pose for sexually explicit photographs, Jones was charged for one felony account of employing a minor on purposes of taking sexually explicit photos and a misdemeanor account of possessing child pornography, and released on $20,000 bail. In July 2003, after pleading no contest to the felony charge, he was placed on the sex offender list register, given 5 years probation, ordered to undergo counseling. The misdemeanor charge of possession of or control of a child pornography was dropped. Now, here's the thing. Like, that happened in 2002, and yet he still acted for a while. You know, he was like in Deadwood and Deadwood movie, and he still came back in a way, like he's still there, you know? And my stance on that is the same stance I have on Victor Salva. Like, I don't mind him making movies as long as it's not geared toward children, you know, or anything. You know, I would say he's still a great act. Like, you can't take him as being a bad actor for what he does in his personal life.
No,
but
it's I just came off of watching the Woody Allen Mia Farrow documentary as of last night, called Allen vs. Farrow, which is brand new. I think it came out last year, which is all about Woody Allen and stuff like that. So this is heartbreaking. I did not know this about Jeffrey Jones. And that's incredibly disappointing. And I mean, he just elevates a film, you know, when he's in it. And so that's, you know, like Bryan Singer and the rest of these guys. I just don't know what's wrong with these people. And yeah, that's very disappointing. You know, big fan of his. And I was for a long time a big Woody Allen fan. I think he's made some of the best movies out there. But now I just can't really watch a lot of his films or any of his movies anymore. And I'm not all about cancel culture, but I don't know. I mean,
it's tough. And, you know, the more you kind of dive deep into these things, it gets scarier and scarier to see, you know, so I kind of don't like to do that, or try not to. I just knew about it. Like I said, I'm very adamant. I don't like Victor Salva still making movies that have to do with children. I will support if he does adult, well, not adult films, like quote unquote pornography or something. But if he does like films that are just, you know, for adults, I'm fine with that, you know, where there are no kids involved whatsoever.
I think that there is a difference between Jeffrey Jones and Victor Salva. Is Jeffrey Jones doesn't seem to make movies where you can go, oh, that's obviously a pedophile. Victor Salva, since the Creeper, is Victor Salva. I mean, he is a creeper, and that's kind of him projecting himself. And if you look at the teenagers, and I do like all three Jeepers Creepers films, even though I can't stand him. So it's definitely, you know, I have mixed feelings about that, but, I mean, he does have a lot of young men playing teenagers with their shirts off, and they're, you know, he might as well just be spraying water all over them practically. You know, I think his stuff is a lot, including like Powder, how he looks like a little baby, like a hairless baby. A lot of his stuff is so blatantly obvious that it's tough. But somebody like Jeffrey Jones, you know, it's very unfortunate. And but at least, I mean, I would have never known that. I just did not know. So I'm not disappointed. I mean, I'm disappointed, but it's like, you know, what are you going to do? So
Right. And I mean, I wouldn't like, I would still watch Beetlejuice. I'll still watch, you know, all those things because I still love the actor himself. Like, you know, and I just, I'm sad that this happened, you know, but it sort of does make sense that he's now, that he's like Spike, the devil, you know, kind of thing. He's not the devil. There's an actual devil.
It is a little ironic.
Yeah,
there is some irony there. So it's very, I mean, it's hard to separate the actor from the artist. And I think it's something that we all battle with. I mean, a lot of people know that I'm a huge Tom Cruise fan. I think Tom Cruise is best guys, you know, out there, but I hate Scientology. You know, I don't like religion. And that's something where people have said, how could you possibly support him because of Scientology? And it's like, I just try to separate the two.
Well, I mean,
it's,
I feel like that's, you know,
even though it's destroyed lives, but it's tough.
I feel like that's a different thing because I don't view Scientology as a religion, even though they may be an actual religion based on whatever the government actually issues.
Well, the IRS says they're a religion. That's the IRS.
So it's a cult.
And they were blackmailed into it.
Yeah, it's a cult.
Oh, it is. Well, all religion is a cult. Literally, all religion is a cult. All right. But that's a whole other podcast. That's a whole other.
So
stay tuned.
All right. So, yes. So.
Oh, I could battle that for hours.
Yes,
I mean,
and
that's,
let's not do that.
You know.
back to the movie at hand. So, basically John Ritter and Pam Dauber are at odds with each other. They are basically, you know, because he's a couch potato. All he wants to do is watch TV all day and whatnot. And she wants him to do stuff with his life, go out, you know, live his life, you know, and all this stuff. And so when he gets the opportunity of a lifetime to have this big, you know, and, you know, honestly, everybody would love, like, I mean, right, even right now, we have like 600 different channels and shit, you know, like, imagine if.
Yeah, kind of all predicted the future in a way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So we have, they're not all the same channels like they have in this one, in Hellavision, which I love that, by the way. I love Hellavision. Like, I think that's hilarious.
It's awesome that everything deals with hell. I mean, it's hilarious. I'm not even sure if a lot of younger people, maybe in their 20s, would get a lot of the commercials, you know, like the Memorex guy with his head being, you know, torn off. And a lot of these are old school and kind of that time, but they're still funny.
Right. I mean, I don't even think I ever got that because I don't think I ever watched that commercial, you know, the Memorex commercial. So I just, it was like Max something. So I was like, is that making fun of like Max Headroom or something? I wasn't sure.
Yeah, the company Maxell then becomes Max Hell. So that's kind of the joke of it. And that was literally the commercial. The whole commercial was the butler putting in the cassette. Max, you know, and Maxwell sounds so good that it kind of just blows the guy back. The light is moving, his drink moves, and he grabs it. What they added was his head being torn off,
right?
Which I knew was coming. It's like the only thing that can be missing from this is his head being blown off, and there it does. It literally gets blown off by the wind.
It will blow you away.
But yes, it will. So, but continue, please. What is the story of this?
So then, first of all, they both get sucked into this TV land. And they have to deal with all the different, like, they start, you know, there's a game show called You Can't Win. And I thought that was pretty funny. Can you imagine playing a game they called You Can't Win? You know, like, and then there's, what was the next one? There's a list of them. So online.
Well, I wrote down each one that they go to, but I didn't put the name of it. I just wrote down like game show wrestling, just so we have something to kind of reference, but I didn't get the name of each one. But it's kind of whatever the opposite of what it is. So if it's You Can Win, it's You Can Die, you know, that type of thing. Or you know, Beverly Hills 90210 is Beverly Hills. I think it's like 902666 is like one of the commercials at the end.
All right.
So it's kind of like the opposite.
We'll go through them all and we'll talk about them, I guess. So the first one that we ever see, I guess, is when they're just kind of watching the thing, is Three Men and Rosemary's Baby. That was funny.
That's a funny one. That's a good one. Especially with the little puke coming up for the baby, because you know it's the Exorcist puke.
Right. Well, it's a Rosemary's Baby. So yeah, it's like Exorcist. Yeah. So there you go.
Not that it's Exorcist, but you know, it's like that type of spit that's coming up is that type of devil spit.
Exactly. And then sadistic hidden videos. That was hilarious and fucked up, you know,
which is messed up, but that's almost punked. You know, that's almost a lot of these videos that are out there now where, you know, he's what is it? Logan Paul and all them now go, you know, that these guys go out horrible so they can make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what people do today, is they go up and punch somebody in the face, you know, and run away. And that's meant to be funny.
Yeah. And yeah, so it's sadistic hidden videos. So at least they're very clear about who they are, you know? So then we talked about you can't win. And then Underworld Wrestling League is what you're saying. So the wrestling.
Yeah. So that's like the second one that they go into. Yeah. Game show first, then wrestling. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was okay. I mean, I'm not into wrestling myself, but I thought it was cool that she stuck up for him. So it kind of started showing you the dynamic of him being sort of a weenie and her being, you know, the champion sort of thing.
Which is interesting because this is 1992 and she's the dominant one. You know, he's weak. You know, he just sits, like you said, like a couch potato. They call him that a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. And he just sits in front of the TV all day while she's the bread earner. She's got the better job. You know, she's, you know, a much more positive character than he is. So that it's interesting that they went that route, especially in 1992.
Exactly. Then there's, oh my God, Autopsies of the Rich and Famous. Which, sadly enough, seems like something that people would watch today.
Sure, sure. I think they probably would. Yeah.
I mean, why not at this rate right now? In fact, I think they could get a lot of good ideas from this, and maybe some have already, you know, like you said before, like punked, you know, and whatnot.
Well, even Autopsies of the Rich and Famous, a lot of these, what, like Discovery and all that, have all those crime shows.
Yep.
You know, how did this celebrity die? And then it's granted they don't show the autopsy, but they do get into autopsy reports.
You know? Right. So then you said the Max Hell commercial, you know, blow you away. That was pretty funny. Then let's see, there's Northern Overexposure. Which, I mean, okay, it's just like, let's take Northern Exposure and just, you know, make it worse, you know, I guess.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then 30 something to life, which I was just like, what the fuck? Because I mean, I grew up in the 90s and 80s and 90s, these shows were big and famous, you know. I'm surprised, honestly, they did not do a Mork and Mindy spoof. You know, they probably couldn't get somebody to look like Robin Williams, and they were couldn't afford him.
Well, they did do the Three's Company, which is in the trailer, but I was surprised at that because John Ritter tried to get away from that for decades. Like, he didn't even want to be associated with that anymore, even though it was a hit and they had the spinoff. So I actually thought it was pretty funny. Maybe enough time had gone by that he could kind of spoof himself. It would have been great if he got, you know, if they got Suzanne Somers and Joyce DeWitt to be the two girls, but the two girls in it were pretty close. I mean, you know, if you know the show, you know exactly who they are.
Well, actually, I liked it better that it wasn't them, you know, because they never say what it's called, right? You know, they just do the theme song, right? And made me start thinking.
Right, yeah.
Because they never say Three's Company, you know, right? He just screams because he and tries to get out, you know, quickly. So I'm wondering if maybe that was a reference to the fact that, like, you know, you're right. Like, he didn't probably want to be involved in that. And maybe he was trying to say, have them say that, like, it, like, that that movie itself is enough to be, or that show itself is enough to be in hell, you know? Like, you know, like television, they don't even need.
Yeah, after. Yeah, I mean that's his hell, that he would be permanently stuck in there, because after a while he got over it and talked about it, because he did like the E! True Hollywood Story, I think was he was on that. And later on, I think it's like anybody that's on something popular, they just don't want to talk about it for a while because they're trying to escape it. And then, you know, then they kind of like 10 years later, they're over it. You know, it's right. Like, oh, okay, now we'll talk about it.
The Silencer of the Lambs. That was a commercial. Silence of the Pets sold separately. Silencer of the Pets sold separately. Meet the Mansons with Chuck Manson. They say an unnamed cartoon.
You know, good for him. Good for him.
Yeah. Unnamed cartoon, which I don't know. Like, you're right. It wasn't a specific cartoon that they were, maybe Tom and Jerry, they were kind of parodying, you know?
Well, that is an important cartoon, actually. And I'm not being funny. That cartoon was actually done by Chuck Jones. So the guy who does Bugs Bunny, mm-hmm. they got him to do, you know, it's Warner Brothers. They actually got him to do an all original cartoon.
That's awesome.
So it's, yeah, I would probably say, yeah, Tom and Jerry, I'd probably say, is what it's spoofing the most. But to get the legendary Chuck Jones to do a cartoon for your movie is pretty awesome.
I mean, yeah. And I was like thinking about it. This is like post Who Framed Roger Rabbit, you know? So like having cartoons in a live action movie is pretty cool. You know, now they're not in the live action world, you know, like it's not a cartoon that's in, you know, regular life or whatever. But it's still cool to have it like a live action movie cartoon, then go back to live action movie, you know?
Right.
So let's see. Different Strokes. Oh my God.
That was funny. That I actually laughed out loud because you don't know at first what it is. The two guys have a stroke and then they just say Different Strokes. That's what I mean by this was not made for kids. There's no way that this thing was made for kids, because that was funny.
I watched it as a kid. I mean, I probably didn't get it. You know, I probably didn't get it because I didn't even watch Different Strokes when I was a kid. But, you know, like I probably didn't get a half of these jokes, you know, or whatever. I just thought it was funny, like whatever. My Three Sons of Bitches.
Which is based off of My Three Sons from the TV show My Three Sons.
Obviously. Saturday Night Dead with Dwayne's World sketch, which I heard a funny story that Christopher Walken in Wayne's World 2 calls him Dwayne in it, right? And people are wondering if that's a throwback to Stay Tuned, because
I think it. Oh, go on.
Oh, I was going to say, because Mike Myers and Dana Carvey were asked to do that skit, come back and do it, and they couldn't because they were actually shooting the original Wayne's World.
I think so. I think because they were asked to do it and couldn't, you know, that maybe they put a little nod in there, because, you know, nobody got sued. You know, nobody was told not to do it. So right. I think it is. I think you're right on that. Yeah.
Roy Nabel, Private Dick. That was, I mean, you know, spoof of all those, you know, they even like talk about like Maltese Falcon and, you know, whatnot.
It was nicely shot. It was a actually well produced. It was a well shot film noir spoof that I thought worked pretty well.
I would watch that movie, like, or whatever, you know, like if there was more to that, I would have watched that. That is what I think makes a good spoof. You know, if you watch it and you're like, man, I wish they made a real movie out of that, you know.
There's something that's close. I don't know if you've ever seen the Steve Martin film, Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
I've heard of it.
It's the film that it's the third film that he made. So he did The Jerk, Pennies from Heaven, and then Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. And it's a spoof on all those movies where he actually takes the footage from those films and he reacts to that footage. So he talks to Humphrey Bogart. He talks to Peter Lorre. And it's great. I mean, it's really a great movie.
Yeah.
So it's very similar.
All right. The Exorcist. You know.
That one I thought was funny.
Well, I like that they didn't show the vomit at the end because they're like, and now puke, and they're about to, and then it cuts.
Yeah. I actually like that they cut. It's funnier with the cut.
Right.
Sometimes you don't need to see it to get the laugh.
Yeah. And then Yogi Beer commercial, you know. Which scares me.
Beer that makes it just like your dad.
That what scares me is that seemed like it would be a thing, you know, like that would be something that, like, you know, give me another one, babe. You know, like, whatever. That's my son.
Oh, you know, there's some white trash dad out there who's getting his kid to drink at 12 and, you know, so bossing around the sister and the mom.
So if they can get him to drink a non-alcoholic one that has whatever, you know, whatever. You know, that's better. The Home Shoplifting channel. Jesus Christ, there's a lot of these spoofs. Off With His Head, which was the one set in the French Revolution. That's pretty cool.
That's the French Revolution, yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was really funny. It was instead of Marquis de Sade, it was Marquis de Nable. And they were... having to deal with, I don't know what they were getting arrested for, what they did. I forgot. There's something. They said something.
John Ritter is on a wanted poster.
Okay.
So he's dressed up like I guess it's supposed to be a prostitute. And then the guy at the bar says, no, idiots, he's the guy on the poster. And that's, you know, because the wig comes off. And then they go to cut his head off. That one I like because it has a bunch of references in it. So you got like the French Revolution. You got, you know, God is brought up in it. You know, with the kid's voice, they think it's God. And then they have to kind of play off that. And Jeffrey Jones shows up with like the really long cape that kind of engulfs everything. Mm-hmm. And so they almost got this kind of mystical, magical thing going on. And so that one's got a bunch of stuff in it. That one was a good one as well. That was another one that was well produced.
Well produced, yeah. So let's see. Unnamed Western themed show. I don't know if it was a show. It looked like more like a movie. I think it was supposed to be more like, it says both 310 to Yuma is referenced. And so is The Man with No Name.
Yeah, definitely. So.
It was definitely a Clint Eastwood inspired, you know, Western.
Yeah.
You know, it was a generic Western. There's no specific, you know, movie or whatever that they were doing. HV1 News. I did not see that. I didn't notice that.
That's in the background of the music video that's playing. The very last thing, the Salt and Pepper. Video. It's instead of MTV, it's HPEL TV.
Oh, okay.
And I'm guessing that Salt and Peppa have a contract with Warner Brothers. So they got a whole song in there that the two were fighting in.
This is news. So it was like HV1 News. So I'm guessing it's Hell Vision.
Oh, that pops up it's the one where Jeffrey Jones, when he says, I'm linked to you. So okay. I'm going from channel to channel. And he's like the news person.
Oh, okay. All right. That totally makes sense. I remember that. Then a Star Trek Next Generation spoof where everybody is that guy, you know, is Jeffrey Jones, basically, you know, or whatever he's getting you. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I like that. And
which
then,
is funny is it's generation, but he Shatner in it, which I thought was a little weird.
Well, you know, maybe it was a reference to the old Star Trek.
I mean, it's still a Star Trek reference, but
it was Next Generation, obviously.
I mean, he's definitely Picard.
Right. But he can't say a Picard.
Yeah, myself. And then at the very end, right before it cuts, he's like, "Holy Shatner," or something.
Yeah. Or,
so
yeah.
I mean, it's still a reference. So
yeah. It worked. all right. I guess the crash test dummy spoof. Like what if you were trapped as a crash test dummy? That's pretty interesting.
Well, and that was a big commercial back in the day too.
Right. Hockey game, Angels versus Devils. I didn't catch that though. I didn't catch that they were Angels versus Devils. That's pretty cool. Driving over Miss Daisy. I love that.
That title does not let you down.
No, that was great. Three's Company spoof. We mentioned that earlier. Unnamed medieval period show, and I'm guessing that was when they were fighting with the swords.
You know? Yeah, because he was watching that earlier, like an Errol Flynn or one of those guys, you know, yeah, type of movies.
Yep. HTV Start Me Up, Salt and Peppa music video, which I thought was pretty cool. That it sounded like they had like an original song from Salt and Peppa just to do that music video. So it's pretty neat.
I didn't mind it. But I just thought it was kind of funny. Just like, okay, so they, like I said, they obviously have a contract with Warner Brothers and maybe they were popular at the time. So that's the video that they were using. But
was it
yeah,
Warner
I mean,
Brothers?
It was.
I thought it was Morgan that put it out.
Well, I think that the if you look at the video box who released it, I believe it says Warner Brothers. Like it was a Warner Brothers produced film. The one thing that I did like in the music video is I don't know which one is Salt and which one's Peppa, but one of them picks up the remote and clicks it, and it mutes the music video.
Right.
And they don't know what's going on, and she kind of grabs it and unmutes it. So you can kind of like the kid throwing the sword into the satellite for the that castle thing. You can throw stuff into it and have it appear, and then people within it can also control it. So I thought that was kind of cool.
It
kind of added a little to it.
It says that during the Salt and Peppa music video, a dancer gets a hold of the master remote control and accidentally mutes the sound. Spinderella, Salt and Peppa's DJ, is the person who takes the remote control back and unmutes the movie with it.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool.
So that was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was a little neat. And then the fall TV lineup shown during the ending credits is Beverly Hills 90666. You know, which all of these weren't even like they didn't show like real shows. They just showed like the titles, you know, of different movies. Like
coming next season type of stuff.
Yeah. I Love Lucifer, you know, The Golden Ghouls. Come on. Oh, Lord. Murder, She Likes. My favorite, Facts of Life Support. Fresh Prince of Darkness.
Okay, yeah.
Unmarried with Children, which I was just like, how simple is that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, literally, somebody just goes, married with children, what can we do? Unmarried with Children. Okay, let's put that
in. Put a U and an N, you know, and we're done. Next one.
And the last one is David Dukes of Hazzard. So that's all of them. Holy shit. We just talked about the whole thing. But
wait, did you say David Dukes of Hazzard?
Yes.
So David Duke is the David Duke was the head of the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh.
And he's he's the guy that pretty much brought the in modern day brought the Ku Klux Klan to the forefront. So
oh wow. Well, he was a Dukes of Hazzard. I don't know.
Yeah, I missed that one, I guess.
It was literally the last one. I saw it and I was like, I don't know who David Dukes is. didn't, you know, all the rest of the stuff I at least got, you know, that one was the one that actually went right over my head. So yeah, so all of those spoofs. And then you've got the daughter who I, so back in the 80s and 90s, I used to have a huge crush on Heather McComb, who from this movie. And also she was in like Kickboxer 2 around the same time, I think 91, 92, something like that. And she was in a bunch of other stuff. She's now still a big actress. She's still doing a lot of like big stuff. She's on like Ray Donovan and Prison Break. Oh, wow. And other shows. So she's still doing, you know, stuff, which is great, because I liked her. I mean, she played sort of a normal like teenage daughter who when her parents are gone, she just wants to invite her friends over and hang out.
The nice thing about her and the brother, the two kids, they're not annoying. You know, most kids in movies are annoying, and they're not. They're actually like decent looking kids. You know, at times kids have really weird hairdos or clothes that the casting or hairdo put them in. And these kids actually help the plot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without them, the parents wouldn't have made it out. So, and that's one of the things that I liked about this is how it was written, is everything kind of led to something else. So, you know, the kid's just watching TV. It's a brand new TV. He's checking it out. There's mom and dad. He goes to get the sister, you know, and it takes, you know, a couple times for her to realize what's going on, but it's, and she's a little mean to him, which is fine, because that's what siblings do, but they serve a purpose and they're not obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciated that.
Oh, definitely. Now apparently, I'll have to check that out. So David Tom, who was in, who's the Daryl, the boy, was also in another John Ritter movie in 1999. Was it 99? Called Holy Joe. Yeah, and he played John Ritter's son again in that movie. So they got to play father and son twice.
Oh, okay.
You know, which I think is neat.
Nice.
Meredith Baxter is the mom in that. And I think, have you seen it?
I haven't, no.
See, another John Ritter movie. You're missing out, man. He's done so much.
I know. But I almost feel that a true fan doesn't watch everything. So you don't necessarily have to watch everything. I'm a huge Nicolas Cage fan. I have not watched everything that Nicolas Cage has made. I don't have to. I appreciate Nicolas Cage for who he is. And same thing with Tom Cruise. I haven't watched everything that Tom Cruise has made. So you don't have to be a big true fan and you know, not watch everything. Like, to me, then that becomes obsessive. That's true. You're kind of like a nutty fan who has to watch everything that they've ever done.
I mean, I've seen pretty much everything that Quentin Tarantino's done. I mean, I might be missing, like, I think he did a CSI or something that I haven't watched, you know, but I'm sure eventually I might see that just because out of curiosity, you know, but that doesn't make me a nutty fan because I've seen
that would actually be an ER episode is the one that he did.
I thought he also
that's how
did,
he got I, George
I,
Clooney.
I could have swore that's also
maybe I could be wrong. I just know the only thing that he did was TV wise was ER, but also he hasn't made that many movies either.
Right. You're right. He really hasn't, which yep. He did a CSI episode called Grave Danger. He did one episode,
oh, nice.
Like one and two. And so a two-part episode. And see, here's the thing. So Rob Zombie also did a CSI Miami or something, you know, and apparently he hated it because he hated not being in control of his own project, you know, and everything. But he, for somebody who was not in control of his own project, he put like William Forsythe in there and all these people who've never been in any of those, you know? So I don't want to hear, I don't want to hear that. I didn't get to control, dude. You got to cast that thing, you know, like with people. You
a lot of the times these people moan and groan for no reason. I mean, it's the, yeah, I mean, they might've said you could cast who you want and then it's, you know, but then we're going to go in and edit it. You know, it's our production and we have our editors, but you could cast who you want. You know, it could be a compromise.
He did. You're right. He did direct a, Quentin Tarantino did direct an ER as well. So that, and he directed,
yeah, I think it was the first TV thing he did. Yeah.
He also directed an episode of Jimmy Kimmel Live. How the fuck? I'm okay.
Okay.
I don't know if that's real or not, but I mean, I'll have to find that out, but all right. I mean, I don't know what one does when they direct Jimmy Kimmel Live, just tell Jimmy Kimmel do his thing and then say action. I mean, there's really,
maybe he did a segment for it.
Maybe, I don't know. Was he the only director on that?
Look more into that.
I will have to. Actually,
yeah. Yeah, normally it would say, yeah.
It says credit only. Maybe that was a joke. You know, sometimes they do stuff like that because it says credit only and he wasn't the director. I don't know. That's weird. I'd have to,
huh,
have to see if there's any.
Well, but since we're speaking of directors, the director of Stay Tuned, nice is segue, a very fine director, and I do thank you, is Peter Himes, who was very big back in the day, and he did stuff like 2010, the year we made Contact. He did the Van Damme film Sudden Death. He did a bunch of stuff, and he was big for a while. He was like the action guy. So it was Relic, kind of, it was interesting Relic, watching him direct a comedy.
Yeah.
Relic. Yeah.
Running Scared, which was also sort of a comedy with, action comedy with Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
You know, he had directed a bunch. I just remember I was looking him up and, so I was like, that name sounds familiar. And when it said Sudden Death and Time Cop, I said, yep. Okay. I remember. And he also did, the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie End of Days, which I always thought was fun, you know? His last,
oh, I like that. I think that's one of Schwarzenegger's best.
Yeah. And, Enemies Closer is his last one, which you can watch on free on Tubi. And it's got Van Damme as well as Tom Everett Scott. That's a weird combination right there. But all right, I'll watch it. And Chris Van Damme, I'm guessing that's, Van Damme's son. You know, okay, that's weird. His birth name was Christopher Julian Van Varenberg. So unless like he just called himself that or something, and then I don't know. That's weird. First son of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know why. I guess he might have changed his name. Or had his name illegally changed originally because he didn't want to, like, you know, just be a Van Damme, you know, or something. Or maybe is that Van Damme's original?
Well, that's last possible.
Name? Van Damme's original last name, because Van Damme seems so fake. Van Varenberg, yes. Okay. So Van Damme's actually not his real last name.
Pardon me.
Did you know that?
I'm going to guess people like Vin Diesel, that is not his real name either.
Really? You know, it's so funny because we are both in the indie film world, and sometimes hearing what people's real names are is always sort of a fun little thing, you know. I'm not going to tell anybody and rat anybody's real, like, actual names out, but sometimes there are people that have, you know, different actual birth name and, you know, than who they are.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, and somebody bigger that has always been known for that, like more of a mainstream actor would be, you know, Martin Sheen.
Right.
you know, because then you have, you know, Charlie Sheen, but then you have, you know, Rene Estevez, you have all the Esteveses, you have all of Emilio, and that's there. And in Joe Estevez. Yeah. So it's, you know, and in, was it Machete 2 where Charlie Sheen plays the president and he goes under his actual name,
Carlos,
which is Carlos Estevez.
Yeah. Which I think is pretty fun. Yeah.
So yeah, people. Yeah. Oh, I think that's great. I think it's hilarious. oh, but one actor that we have not mentioned, because we've talked about John Ritter. We brought up Palm, you know,
Pam Dauber.
Pam Dauber and Jeffrey Jones, but there's also Eugene Levy.
Exactly. Freaking Jim's dad.
The great Eugene Levy.
That's all I'm sorry. I grew up in American Pie. So everybody will be like, oh, that's the guy from Best in Show, or I think he was in Waiting for Guffman and all the other movies that Christopher Guest did. But I will always
know that
Jim's dad. Yeah. So I love
Eugene the most Levy. Understanding dad in the world.
Oh yeah, he's just, and he's the only, he's like the only one of all the characters in all of American Pie that has gone on to be in all of the American Pie, including the spinoff movies, you know, and stuff. So
okay yeah, I saw him in a few of them, but yeah that I wouldn't
been in all of them. Yeah, if not, he's been in almost all of them, you know. But yeah, he's just, Eugene Levy is so funny all the time, and in this movie he just keeps getting funnier and funnier each time you see him, and you're like hoping he'll come back, you know, like, or whatever.
Yeah, he kind of just disappears. He doesn't really get a that satisfying ending, you know. He just keeps losing body parts, and then
he does get the satisfying ending at the end of the movie when that dog gets sucked into the TV and then goes and is attacking Spike, and Spike doesn't have his remote, so he can't leave, you know? So he's stuck in the medieval time area or whatever, and he's kind of stuck on that chandelier and everything. Eugene Levy comes out, and, you know,
yes,
tells,
I forgot,
the dog to sick him or whatever, you know? Like, he cuts down him, and then...
That's right. I remember that now. Him. Yes, you are correct.
Which I was really... Okay, so I'm a big lover of dogs. I really do. I'm absolutely, like, my dog over there is sleeping, enjoying himself. But I'm a big, huge lover of dogs. Like, they're my favorite animals of all time. I love cats, too, but dogs a little bit more. And so when I saw the dog, and I was like, I remember this. That fucking dog gets sucked into the damn thing. You know, and I was so mad. I was like, because I, you know, it's like, man, that dog, I mean, he was just protecting his.
But he's not dead. He's not dead, though.
He's not dead, but he's in TV land, you know, like, he didn't. Now he's kind of stuck. I mean, what is he going to do? He's going to die in there. And, you know, he's going to have to feed off a Spike or whatever, you know, I guess.
Well, it's kind of sad when you think about it, because in present day, the dog is dead, technically.
Yeah,
but in that, in the TV during that time period, he's alive.
That's true.
So I guess as long as that show continues, the dog should be alive to kind of run around. So,
so maybe he got to live
endlessly.
Forever.
Yeah, as long. Yeah,
as long as
maybe he never aged because he's on TV. Yeah, you could look at it that way.
You know, if you think about it, all those characters that live in the TV, you know, they live on until they get canceled. And then when they get canceled, I guess they're dead. If you think about it.
That's what happens.
All right. They die. Yes.
I did find they obviously were knowing what they were doing with this. If you watch... something like the very beginning of the film is very Ghostbusters, the original Ghostbusters.
Yes.
Where, like, the kind of like the camera zooms in on the wife, and even has the music with her hair blowing back. It's almost like the librarian from the first Ghostbusters
film.
That's
what I was thinking.
And it's I think they purposely did this, is even the credits have a very Superman, like Superman the movie credits with the music. It also sounds kind of Back to the Future-y.
Right.
With a little bit of like sci-fi. It was nobody that I don't think I know of. But they obviously knew what they were doing. They definitely had a plan. And so it was nice to see that, because even with the ending, with the radar dish, with the dish, it goes into the ground, which is very much Poltergeist. House kind of sucks itself into the ground.
Yeah.
And there are two kind of modern things in here. I believe it's John Ritter who aims the remote at Spike and says, "You're canceled." Ah, canceled. A big word that's thrown around a lot today. Well, and just a coincidence. And of course, Jeffrey Jones got canceled. And also the intern, the black intern that's there, he takes over. So it's a little more modern. So instead of just giving it to any white guy that's walking around, they actually give it to the black intern. So it's a little more progressive than we might think.
So the guy who composed the music is Bruce Broughton, who did he had done a lot of fucking stuff that we might not realize that was him. He did the music for Silverado. He did The Boy Who Could Fly, who I remember watching that movie when I was a kid. You know, Harry and the Hendersons. He did the music for that. He did the Monster Squad, the music for that.
Okay.
He did the music for Moonwalker, the Michael Jackson movie. Let's see. It says Roller Coaster Rabbit, so I'm guessing that was a short or something for Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Or something.
Yeah, they brought out like four or five shorts for Roger Rabbit. Yeah.
Yeah. Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. So I guess he didn't do Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, which this also had a very Honey, I Shrunk the Kids vibe to it too. Like, and like, instead of the kids being sucked into TV land, it's the adults being sucked into TV land, which I thought was pretty cool, you know?
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
So stay tuned. Obviously you did that. He did the music for Sunday. So I Married an Axe Murderer. Oh my God. He's done so many of my favorite movies.
So he seems to work a lot with Warner Brothers and Disney.
Yeah. Holy cow. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. He did a lot of Disney. He did like a episode of The Magical World of Disney, you know, called like The Thanksgiving Promise, you know? So he's, and The Wonderful World of Disney when they brought it back in 2003, you know? So it's crazy that, yeah, I guess he's a big Disney guy. I don't know if he's still doing stuff. The last thing he did was The Return of Tiny Toon. So, but anyway, that's awesome. Okay. Like, good for him. You know, being a major composer. So, all in all, were you surprised at how much you enjoyed this movie?
Yes, actually. Maybe the reason why I didn't watch it is because I thought it was going to be like a kid's movie and it just didn't interest me at the time. But I was surprised at especially the adult stuff in it that you would never get as a kid. Like you mentioned that you just didn't catch some of the stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's so, yeah, it's a perfect 90 minutes. Like it didn't need to be longer, didn't need to be shorter. It went perfectly because when I started it, I then looked at it because I paused it to like get something to drink. And I saw that it had already been on for 30 minutes. And it's like, wow, really? This thing is flying.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was I really enjoyed it.
It was funny because I told you last night my internet fucked up. And that was good because like it fucked up after, you know, my podcast yesterday. So I was very happy about that, you know, like not during, but I watched like half the movie basically. So I watched about 45 to 48 minutes or something. And so when I got to finish it today, it went by like that, you know, and it went by like that to begin with and stuff. So, and another thing is, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but I had picked this movie. So last year was when I started wanting to do Hollywood Knockbusters. I came up with the idea and everything. And I was in LA, I was in my room, and I was like trying to look up a movie to watch, right? I was bored. I was like, what's a movie? And I was like trying to find something I hadn't seen or hadn't seen in a while, right? You know, and Stay Tuned popped up on Amazon, and I was like, let me check. I haven't seen this movie in forever. Let me check it out. And it was, I mean, I remembered like so much shit that I, like I said, I'd seen it as a kid, but I watched it like all the time when I was a kid. I used to like wear it out, you know, and it's still a movie that I could watch like tomorrow, you know, and be happy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Do you feel that way about it? Like, is it something?
Yeah, it's one that I would. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I would definitely introduce friends to it. It's one of those ones with just, you know, grab a, you know, get some beer, grab a pizza, you know, or soda, whatever you prefer. But it's definitely something where you can grab food and drinks and watch it with friends, you know, kind of introduce it to them. It's actually probably better to watch it with friends, you know, than watching it by yourself. So yeah, I would recommend people check it out. I mean, if they got Prime or Tubi, yeah, it's there. Check it out.
Definitely. So especially since I did not know it was on Tubi, you should go watch it on Tubi for free if you don't have Amazon Prime, because it is definitely a movie that I recommend. Like, I totally, but see, all you're not going to find a movie on here that on the Hollywood Knockbusters I don't recommend, because that's the point of the show, is not because we have so many shows of movies that are just either terrible or movies like I wouldn't recommend, you know, because I don't think they're very good, but we still want to review them, you know. But then again, we still tell you to go watch them anyway, because, you know, fuck us, you know, we're not like the end all be all or whatever, you know, go make up your own mind. We don't care. But if you do, go spend it on, if you can, spend it on the filmmakers themselves, you know. Give them the money, not the distribution companies that steal it from them, you know, that kind of thing. Speaking of which, you have a podcast, so let's talk about that real quick.
Yes,
we've already said we've said everything about Stay Tuned. We're done. Thank you guys for listening to that, but we're now gonna get into John. You've got a podcast. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yes, thanks. It's taken a little bit of a break, probably a little bit longer than I wanted it to. It's called One Filmmaker, One Film. Jonathan here has been on it. He was actually the second guest. Yes. Joe Lujan was the first. You were the second. And which I really appreciate, because you actually helped me with the idea and motivation and all that stuff to get it going. And so I'm kind of doing 10 episodes, then a break, 10 episodes, then a break. And I already have, a few people already lined up to start off with. And I'm going to be asking a few more, but it's, normally it would either be weekly or biweekly. And it's, it could last up to 2 hours, 90 minutes to 2 hours is the normal time. And I will ask one filmmaker to discuss one film. And we start from the idea, and we're all the way down to distribution. So nice. It's a very detailed, podcast. So that's the idea. And one of the people that we're having on is actually going to be David Sterling. Nice. And I used to be on his show a lot, and he's now going to be on mine. He might be the very first one, I think. And we're going to discuss his box sets, because I think he is now the king of box sets. He has five box sets out now, and we're going to discuss each box set and each film that is inside, and and I'll be displaying them because I have them all. So I thought that'd be interesting as a producer on how you create box sets for your films and series and stuff. So it's not one film, it's, you know, mini films and box sets, but it will be kind of be a little interesting diversion from what it normally is.
Right. I mean, I think that's good. I'm doing that 31 days of indie horror, and a few of them haven't been horror, you know? And I felt like, oh no, like I'm kind of not, you know, I'm kind of losing it from there. And somebody, I think it was Paul, was like, dude, it's 31 days of whatever the fuck you want, you know? Like, so I'm like,
that's right. True. That's true.
I mean, you know, I created it, so I can do it the fuck I want. But I mean, you know, I kind of get tired of these podcasts sometimes. Now, not saying yours, because I think that's really cool that you're doing, you know, not just one film and everything on his. But I'm saying, like, a lot of people do derail from like their idea that they had, you know, or whatever. And I didn't want to do that originally. I did not want to derail, but I did for a couple ones. One was like a sci-fi one. One was like an action, you know, kind of thing. And I'm just like, yeah, you know what? It's, some of them are close enough to horror, have a little horror aspects in it. It's fine. You know, it's not going to be a big deal.
Sure.
I mean, why not?
No. And you could always also, when you're in your title card, you could always just put an X, you know, 31 days of drama, you know, for that one episode, or comedy or whatever.
I have a title card.
It's pretty much whatever you want it to be.
But it's okay.
Well, yeah. There you go. Then you can make it anything you want.
Technically, I can. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's just fun. It's just a fun little show. I enjoy it. But I enjoy doing all these podcasts and talking with everybody about all the different stuff. So please join us next month for a whole new episode of Hollywood Knockbusters. I haven't even figured out what it's going to be yet. You know, I've got a couple ideas. This season is going to go, I think a full 10 episodes. This is like the third or fourth. I think this is the third episode this year. So I think we're going to do a full 10 episodes. So hopefully, you know, we'll see.
Nice.
But anyway, how can people reach you if they would like to check out your stuff?
I'm on Facebook just as John Ward. You can friend me there. Axemis 1 and 2 are on Tubi. They also, Axemis 1 is in a anthology film called Brutality, which is also on Tubi. You can also purchase them through Scream Time Films. You can, if you want a physical copy, and working on the scripts for 3 and 4 now, and also working script for Delete. And now that that nasty virus is settling down, get back into filming and hopefully getting some new product out there soon.
That's the thing, you know, what is it? The virus is over. Now everybody's back to doing, like, I know all these film, these actors who tell me that they have films like postponed, right, because of the virus, you know, and now all of a sudden they're all back to doing it, you know?
Yeah. Things to, you know, people should still take precautions and stuff like that, you know, but it is calming down a lot. And now I think is the time for people to go back and do them. So hopefully a lot of people will be releasing their films. It'd be great to see.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, thank you so much. And I hope everybody checks out your podcast as well. So, let me,
it's on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
Yeah. So definitely check it. Check this thing out. It's like Deer Park Films, right? Dark Park.
It's listed actually Dark Park. Yeah. So it's like John Ward, Dark Park Films. And then on there is going to be a bunch of different stuff. So one filmmaker, and then I'll be doing my own reviews of stuff and things like that. So.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. And you're doing one for us too later, hopefully this fall. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Oh, I'll be doing that shortly once I figure out what I want to do. So, you know, then I'll get that sent to you. So that will be shortly.
Welcome to the club, you know. you know. But hey, everybody, thank you guys for listening. Go ahead.
Thank you. Oh no, I was just gonna add to it is I'm just trying to find something that that you guys aren't doing. You know, I kind of don't want to send you something that you're already doing or planning on doing or something that I'm doing. So I'm trying to find something that's a little obscure that I could send to you that I don't think they've done this one yet. And then have it be a little different. So
well, that'll be good.
I have a couple ideas.
That'll be good. I can't wait to check them out. So yeah, thank you once again, and thank you guys for listening. Check us out next month for a brand new episode. Check us out on sickflickproductions.com, also indiefilmcafe.reviews, indiefilmcafe.podbean.com. And if you have a buck, we are doing Patreon only podcasts, and we just did one tonight. We did one today. That'll go up at the end of the month. And so by the end of the month, you guys can hear a podcast that nobody else can hear. So check that out. And for only $1, go to patreon.com/indiefilmcafe. And we really appreciate it. We love all our patrons, and we'll be doing more content just for that as soon as we possibly can. So thank you guys for checking us out, and have a good one. Bye.